Bhishma Dev first defined all the classifications of castes and orders of life in terms of the individual's qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described counteractions by detachment and interaction by attachment. This by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The conception of four castes and four orders of life as planned by the Lord Himself, Bhagavad Gita 4:13. Which verse is this? Chaturvarnam Maya. Transcendental qualities of the individual person so that he may gradually realize his spiritual identity and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage or conditional life. In almost all the Puranas, the subject matter is described in the same spirit. And so also in the Mahabharata, it is more elaborately described by Bhishma Dev in the Shanti Parva, beginning from the 60th chapter. And actually one whole parva goes according to, actually two parvas mean two full sections were dealing with that. Then after Shanti Parva comes Anushasan Parva, and that also is full of Bhishma Dev's instruction. The Varnashram Dharma is prescribed for the civilized human being just to train him to successfully terminate human life. Self-realization is distinguished from the life of the lower animals engaged in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Bhishma Dev advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. Listen to this carefully. Bhishma Dev, for all the human beings, suggested that they should cultivate these 9 qualifications. 1, not to become angry. 2, not to lie. 3, to equally distribute wealth. 4, to forgive. 5, to beget children only by one legitimate wife. 6, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body. 7, not to be inimical towards anyone. 8, to be simple. And 9, to support servants or subordinates. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. Besides this, the brahmanas, the intelligent men, the administrative class, the mercantile community, and the laborer class must acquire special qualities in terms of occupational duties mentioned in all the Vedic scriptures. For the intelligent men, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. Sex indulgence, even with a legitimate wife, must also be controlled, and thereby family control will automatically follow. An intelligent man abuses his great qualifications if he does not follow the Vedic way of life. Even if a person has many qualifications, but if he does not follow the Vedic way of life, he is simply abusing his qualifications. An intelligent man abuses his great qualifications if he does not follow the Vedic way of life. This means he must seriously make a study of the Vedic literature, especially of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. For learning Vedic knowledge, one must approach a person who is 100% engaged in devotion. devotional service. He must not do things which are forbidden in the shastras. A person cannot be a teacher if he drinks or smokes. In the modern system of education, the teacher's academic qualification is taken into consideration without evaluation of his moral life. Therefore the result of education is misuse of high intelligence in so many ways. So we can see that this importance of Bhishma Dev are so important because by following the instruction of a Mahajan like Bhishma Dev, we can transcend our material bondage and be elevated to the spiritual platform. Actually, in the Vedic literatures, it has been very clearly established that the living entity is eternal. Therefore, they did not worry so much about death as such, changing of body. Their main concern was how to elevate oneself to the spiritual plane. They did not care so much about making some nice arrangements in the material nature. And that is the difference between the Western civilization and Eastern civilization. The Eastern civilization did not put so much emphasis on making beautiful arrangements in the material nature. The Kshatriyas used to do, but generally even then, even the Kshatriyas, that the powerful kings and administrators, did not pay much importance to the material arrangements. At certain age, they would leave everything and go to the forest. Whereas the Western culture, Western civilization is entirely based on making arrangements for enjoying this material nature. Now, what mode actually provokes an individual to become so much absorbed in this material arrangement? What mode? Mode of passion. So in the mode of passion, people try to make all kinds of arrangements to exploit this material nature. But in mode of goodness, what does one do? In the mode of goodness, one learns to transcend this material nature. He realizes that this material nature is illusory. But at the same time, this material nature has a great objective. What is that objective? The objective is to elevate us to the spiritual platform. And the means of elevating us to the spiritual platform is austerity and sacrifice. These are the two means for spiritual elevation. Austerity and sacrifice. Sacrifice because we are falsely claiming things to be ours. So we must return to whoever it actually belongs to, the real proprietor. And austerity, in order to not to let the senses become too attached to material enjoyment. Therefore austerities and sacrifice are the ornament of a brahmana, a person who is situated in a mode of goodness. Also, we notice one thing in the Vedic scriptures that immortality of soul and the transmigration has been accepted by everyone, which is difficult for the modern man, especially westernized modern man, to believe. They don't want to accept incarnation. Although any intelligent person can consider that incarnation is a fact. Incarnation is a fact of life. We are even incarnating in this one body. So why shouldn't we incarnate after this body is given up? The spirit soul never dies, and the spirit soul continues to exist, and the spirit soul, as long as he is in a material nature, he gets material bodies. So, an intelligent person, especially when he is properly informed, he just accepts this fact, the fact about the immortality of soul. And when we study the Vedic scriptures, we can see that it's already taken for granted. Like those who are studying the Veda, the Vedic scriptures, immortality of soul was not a big deal for them. It was not difficult for them to accept. They just practically, universally accepted it. Sometimes Prabhupada said, in India, even a rickshawala is spiritually more advanced than a learned scholar from the West. Rickshawala means the people, those who pull the rickshaws. So, why? Prabhupada is pointing out that in the West, people don't accept that there is life after death. They think that this life is everything, and when this life is finished, then everything is finished. Whereas in India, even a rickshawala, that means a person who is just a working class man, illiterate, leads a very, very simple life, quite poverty stricken, does not have much even culture behind him in that sense. But you all speak to him and he will admit that yes, incarnation is a reality. Spirit soul is immortal. And as we act in this life, accordingly, we'll get the reaction in our next life. It's a very common understanding. Therefore, in the Vedic scriptures, immortality of soul and incarnation, they did not really make much of an endeavor to establish those points. It was already accepted. It was already taken for granted. Just like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita did not waste very much time about establishing the immortality of soul. Krishna just used one verse, and that was enough. Dehi nosmin jatha dehi, komaram jovanam jara, tatha dehantara prah. Just one verse, chapter closed. Like, who can defeat that point? We are incarnating even in our body. This body is going through change. So, although the body changes, we do not change. Our childhood body is dead. With many of us, our adolescent body is dead. Our youth body is also dying. Soon we are going to become old, enter into another body called old body. And what is happening continuously? Clinically also they can understand that continuously the new cells are being generated and old cells are dying. All the time new cells are being produced, being generated in this body, and the old cells are dying and coming out in the form of stool, in the form of hair, in the form of nails, in the form of urine, etc. So the old cells are coming out and new cells are generated. In that way we can consider that the human body is something like a fountain. Or any material body is somewhat like a fountain. What is a fountain like? It's a flow of water. But the fountain, the flow of water has a kind of a shape. And it kind of retains the shape in a way. It's kind of similar shape. But continuously new water is coming in and old water is going out. So in the human body also the same thing is happening. We are actually, the spirit soul is situated in a fountain of cells, fountain of matter. And where old water is going out, flowing out, and the new water is coming in, new matter. But the unfortunate point is that individually, the living entities are thinking that he is this body. And he is trying to relate everything through this body, relate to everything through this body. Aham and Mamiti. Mistaken concept is that I am this body and whatever belongs to this body is mine. Aham and Mamiti. This is the unfortunate state that a living entity is in, unfortunate state of consciousness. And the Vedic scriptures are actually educating us to transcend that state of ignorance and become situated in real knowledge. So, I'll just tell you a story now from Mahabharata, where Bhishma Dev is instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj. The purpose of this instruction is basically, story is that how by the mercy of a devotee one can transcend this material bondage. Just by following the instruction of an advanced devotee, one can become free. By the mercy of a Vaishnava, one can become free from his material bondage. So the story goes like, one day Vasudeva was traveling through a forest path. And Vasudeva actually had the ability to understand different languages, not only of different human races, but he could even understand the language of animals, birds, and even insects. So Vasudeva heard one insect is crying out of fear. So Vasudeva asked, "Hey, what happened? Why are you afraid? Why are you crying like that?" So that insect said, "But don't you see that bullock cart is coming, rushing towards me? And I'm afraid that I'm going to die." So Vasudev said, "You are in an insect body, and still you are so afraid to die. Like, what kind of enjoyment you have in this insect body?" Then the insect said, "No, you see, like in this body also, I have my share of pleasure. And I am attached to those pleasures." So then Vasudev asked him, that isn't it very surprising that although you are in an insect body, still you are thinking that you are able to enjoy? Now why don't you consider that if you get some other more advanced body, then you will be able to enjoy much more than this body. So why are you attached to this body? And why are you afraid to give up this body?" Now we can consider one point, that just as we are attached to our bodies, every living entity is attached to his body. So what lesson we get? That we should not inflict pain on any living entity, because they have their feeling of pleasure and pain. We should not think, "Oh, this is just an ant. So what is the use of this ant? What is the value of this ant's life? So kill him. This mosquito is bothering me so much, biting me, so kill him." But a devotee, he understands that even a mosquito has his feeling, and he doesn't want to inflict pain on a mosquito. So, through this, Vasudev actually made us understand, is again being established. This insect started telling that, you see, in my previous life, I was a very wealthy Sudra. And I was so proud of my wealth that I became very tyrannical. I did not care for anyone's feelings. I was simply concerned about my own enjoyment. And for that, I would extract money out of poor people. I would not even hesitate to kill somebody for the sake of money. I would not hesitate to molest somebody's wife for my pleasure. So in this way, I committed so many sinful activities. And I never ever thought that I have to suffer the consequences of my sinful activities. Because I was a Sudra, I did not have the knowledge. I used to think that this life, this body is everything, and this life is the ultimate place of enjoyment. This world is the ultimate place of enjoyment, and the life is the opportunity to enjoy. Now, Sudra is a person who actually thinks that his body is his self. That is the ultimate identity of a Sudra. One who thinks that his body is his self, he is a Sudra. Whereas Brahmana is one who recognizes that he is a spirit. And this body is not his self. Aham Brahmashmi. I am spiritual, I am not material. That is the understanding of a Brahmana. Whereas Sudra's understanding is just opposite. He thinks that I am this body. So, then this insect started to explain that all his life he committed many, 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 many sinful activities. But only he had a little credit in spite of all these pious activities, all these sinful activities. And those credits were that one, he treated a guest when the guest appeared in his house. And he took care of his old mother. He took care of his old mother and he treated a guest nicely when he came to the house. And as a result of that, he remembered his past life. Although he was in the body of an insect, he remembered his past life. Then he asked Vasudeva, that from your appearance I can understand that you are a very elevated person. So please give me some instruction. Then Vasudev told him that actually I have the power to deliver you. I have the power to deliver you. And just by seeing me, one can become delivered. So now I will instruct you that just as due to your sinful activities you have been situated in an animal, in an insect body, similarly by performing pious activities you can be situated in a higher, in a more elevated body. After all, the demigods, the animals, human beings, everyone has to suffer the consequences of the previous karma in this field of material nature. It doesn't matter whether one is learned or ignorant. Everyone will have to suffer the consequences of their previous activities. And when one ultimately gets the body of a Brahmana, so here we have to understand that what was Bhishmadev's first instruction? About Varnashram Dharma. And Bhishmadev pointed out that ultimately one gets a human body and then In the human body, he gets a Brahmin body. The Brahmin body means, as I said, like one realizes that he is a spiritual being, he is not material. And situating himself as a spiritual being, what does he do? He engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of God. And that is the way to ultimately become, to attain ultimate perfection. So, it's not that one has to become a brahmana by birth, but by qualification one must become a brahmana. What is the meaning of becoming a brahmana? It means that one must recognize himself as a spiritual being. And one should not give so much importance to this material body. That is the business of a sudra. Let the sudras be absorbed with their material. But those who want to make spiritual advancement, those who want to go back to Godhead, they must become Brahmins. Therefore Prabhupada used to say that he actually wanted to make Brahmanas all over the world. That was Prabhupada's mission through the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, in this way, Vasudev instructed the insect. And then what happened? Then the insect became fearless. He did not worry about dying. And this is the potency of an advanced devotee. This is the power of a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava, in a very short time, can make one transcend the fear of death. Otherwise, in the material nature, everyone is afraid of death. The ultimate fear is the fear of death. But we can see just by the little association of Vasudev, even an insect overcome the fear of death. And then what happened? That bull, the bullock cart was rushing in, and it just ran over the insect. The insect left his body. Then gradually it got different bodies of different animals like a boar, a deer, bird, chandal, sudra, vaishya, and then he was born in a Kshatriya family. So gradually, he was elevated to the Kshatriya platform. So as a Kshatriya, and in each life, he actually made Vasudev. In each life, he made Vasudev his spiritual master. And Vasudev came and he instructed him further. So when he was, when he became a king, Kshatriya king, then he went to Vasudev and fell at his feet with folded hands. He told him, "My Lord, due to your mercy, from an insect, I have been gradually elevated to the platform of a Kshatriya. I have become a king. Now, I live in a palace made of gold. I ride in elephants and chariots driven by the best horses and decorated with gold and ornaments, gold and jewels. Every day with my friends I honor the most delicious prasadam." "I spend my night in sleeping in the most comfortable and most expensive beds. And at the end of the night, when I wake up, different musicians, and they are called Magad, Vandi, Shuta. They are the people, those who are professional reciters of prayers. Just as Indra is praised by these people, I become praised when I wake up in the morning. And all, it is only due to your spiritual potency that I have been elevated to this platform. Therefore, I offer my obeisances up unto you. Now please tell me, what should I do? Then Vyasdev told him that also we notice one thing in the Vedic scriptures, that immortality of soul and the transmigration has been accepted by everyone, which is difficult for the modern man, especially westernized modern man, to believe. They don't want to accept incarnation, although although any intelligent person can consider that incarnation is a fact. Incarnation is a fact of life. We are even incarnating in this one body. So why shouldn't we incarnate after this body is given up? The spirit soul never dies. And the spirit soul continues to exist. And the spirit soul, as long as he's in the material nature, he gets material bodies. So, an intelligent person, especially when he is properly informed, he just accepts the fact about the immortality of soul. And when we study the Vedic scriptures, we can see that it's already taken for granted. Like those who are studying the Vedas or Vedic scriptures, immortality of soul was not a big deal for them. It was not difficult for them to accept. They just practically, universally accepted it. Sometimes Prabhupada said, in India, even a rickshawala is spiritually more advanced than a learned scholar from the West. Rickshawala means the people, those who pull the rickshaws. So, why? Prabhupada is pointing out that in the West, people don't accept that there is life after death. They think that this life is everything, and when this life is finished, then everything is finished. Whereas in India, even a rickshawala, that means a person who is just a working class man, illiterate, leads a very, very simple life, quite poverty stricken, does not have much even culture behind him. But you all speak to him, and he will admit that yes, incarnation is a reality. Spirit soul is immortal. And as we act in this life accordingly, we'll get the reaction in our next life. It's a very common understanding. Therefore, in the Vedic scriptures, immortality of soul and incarnation, they did not really make much of an endeavor to establish those points. It was already accepted. It was already taken for granted. Just like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita did not waste very much time about establishing the immortality of soul. Krishna just used one verse, and that was enough. Dehi nosmin jatha dehi komaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara prapt. Just one verse, chapter closed. Like, who can defeat that point? We are incarnating even in our body. This body is going through changes. So, although the body changes, we do not change. Our childhood body is dead. With many of us, our adolescent body is dead. Our youth body is also dying. Soon we are going to become old, enter into another body called old body. And what is happening continuously? Clinically also they can understand that. Continuously the new cells are being generated and old cells are dying. All the time, new cells are being produced, being generated in this body, and the old cells are dying and coming out in the form of stool, in the form of hair, in the form of nails, in the form of urine, etc. So the old cells are coming out and new cells are generated. In that way we can consider that the human body is something like a fountain, or any material body is somewhat like a fountain. What is a fountain like? It's a flow of water. But the fountain, the flow of water, has a kind of a shape. And it kind of retains the shape in a way. It's kind of similar shape. But continuously new water is coming in and old water is going out. So in the human body also the same thing is happening. We are actually, the spirit soul is situated in a fountain of cells, fountain of matter. And where old water is going out, flowing out, and the new water is coming in, new matter is coming in. But the unfortunate point is that individually, the living entities are thinking that he is this body. And he is trying to relate everything through this body, relate to everything through this body. Aham and Mamiti. Mistaken concept is that I am this body and whatever belongs to this body is mine. Aham and Mamo Iti. This is the unfortunate state that a living entity is in, unfortunate state of consciousness. And the Vedic scriptures are actually educating us to transcend that state of ignorance and become situated in real knowledge. So, I'll just tell you a story now from Mahabharata where Bhishma Dev is instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj. The purpose of this instruction is basically, the purport of this story is that how by the mercy of a devotee one can transcend this material bondage. Just by following the instruction of an advanced devotee, one can become free. By the mercy of a Vaishnava, one can become free from this material bondage. So the story goes like, one day Vasudev was traveling through a forest path. And Vasudev actually had the ability to understand different languages, not only of different human races, but he could even understand the language of animals, birds, and even insects. So Vasudev heard one insect is crying out of fear. So Vasudev asked, "Hey, what happened? Why are you afraid? Why are you crying like that?" So that insect said, "Don't you see that bullock cart is coming, rushing towards me? And I'm afraid that I'm going to die." So Vasudev said, "You are an insect body, and still you are so afraid to die. Like, what kind of enjoyment you have in this insect body?" Then the insect said, "No, you see, like in this body also, I have my share of pleasure. And I'm attached to those pleasures." So then Vasudev asked him that, "Isn't it very surprising that although you are in an insect body, still you are thinking that you are able to enjoy? Now why don't you consider that if you get some other more advanced body, then you will be you will be able to enjoy much more than this body. So why are you attached to this body? And why are you afraid to give up this body? Now we can consider one point, that just as we are attached to our bodies, every living entity is attached to his body. So what lesson we get? That we should not inflict pain on any living entity, because they have their feeling of pleasure and pain. We should not think, oh, this is just an ant. So what is the use of this ant? What is the value of this ant's life? So kill him. This mosquito bothering me so much, biting me, so kill him. But a devotee, he understands that even a mosquito has his feeling, and he doesn't want to inflict pain on a mosquito. So, through this, Vasudev actually made us understand, it's not